I want to jump into this message this morning, and I really just want to talk about church. Church. What church is. And church is not just another organization. There's a million organizations. Church is not just another one in the list. I'm gonna say it, all right? Church is the most important organization on planet Earth. There's nothing else even comes close. And I realize that sounds arrogant with us being in church this morning. But here, it's not my church, and it's not your church, it's His church. This is the way He designed this to work. This is the way He designed it so that we can grow, so that we can have all the things we need in our life to keep us healthy and moving forward. It's church. Church is the most important organization in the world. Now, there are some organizations that do some great stuff, but nobody is going to point you to Jesus and eternal life like the church does. And so a church family helps us in all kinds of ways. I want to share a few of those with you this morning. A church family helps me focus on God. I don't know about you, but my life is busy. There's a million things happening all the time. And just knowing I have a church family helps me stay focused in the right way. All right, I know that every Sunday morning I'm going to be here. I don't have to worry about that, wonder about that. I did that before I was a pastor, all right? It's not just because I'm a pastor. Sunday morning helps me focus in on what matters most. It's not just Sunday morning. It's all the other things, the relationships, the encouragement, the prayer. I had a good friend from another state. He texted me last night, and he's an Oklahoma Sooners fan, and If you see somebody smiling right now, just hit them right in the face. Just hit them, all right? That was painful yesterday. But he texted me last night, we've been friends for, 30 years. And he texted me an encouraging text. I'm praying for you tomorrow, praying for church, praying for everything to go well. And I know he's a Sooners fan. And I just texted him back this morning. I said, it sounds like sarcasm when you encourage me right after my team just got beat. But I got somebody encouraging me from 1,000 miles away. That's the church. Now, we're not in this building together today, but that's the church. It helps me focus on God. Here's another thing the church family helps me do. Face life's problems. Man, I'd hate to face problems without a church family. I'd hate to know that I didn't have anybody to call and say, would you pray for me? I had another friend, he called me this week and he said, look, the reason I'm calling you is because I need somebody to tell me I'm doing a great job. And I said, listen, let's tell you you're doing a great job. He just needed somebody to encourage him. And apparently I wasn't listening to God quick enough, so he had to tell me himself. But it's an encouraging word. It's just an encouraging word. Facing life's problems, having a church family to help us handle the things that we need to handle every day. Because you got problems and I got problems. We all got problems. That's why we need each other. Another thing that the church family helps us do is it fortifies our faith. It builds us up. It strengthens us in our faith. I can never become the believer that God wants me to be if I'm trying to do it by myself. I've got to have some people around me that love me and care about me. I got to be on the same team with some other people that are headed in the same direction. I was having a conversation with somebody this week, and we were talking about a little example we've used around here many times. You know, when you watch those nature programs and that poor little gazelle is out there just chasing butterflies, there's some lions waiting to eat him. Now, if he stays with the herd, he's usually fine, but it's when he's out there all by himself, right? We need each other. That's what a church family does. It keeps us safe. Here's another thing a church family does. It helps me find my place in the world. I talk to people quite often that are asking questions like, why am I here? What am I supposed to be doing? I don't know where I fit in. And with a church family, we bring all of our mess to God. And then God gives us a great big family to help us work through our mess. Because everybody's bringing a boatload of garbage with them. No, nobody enters the church family without some baggage, right? It just doesn't happen. And then we got baggage after we've been a part of a church. But we've got people that will help us along, find our place, right? So that we're not out there wandering around, how am I going to do this? What am I going to do? What should I do? Where should I go? We find godly counsel and godly wisdom in a church family. And here's the fifth one. It helps me fulfill my life's mission. God created you and me on purpose for a reason. He wants to use our life. He wants to bless our life. He wants to help us accomplish great things, not just temporary things. He wants us to accomplish eternal things for his kingdom, and we can't do that by ourselves. We need somebody else. So let's ask this question. What is the church? We're talking about it like it's great. What is it? Well, let me talk about what the church is not first. The church is not a building. This building does not matter, all right? We could be meeting out in the parking lot this morning and we would still be the church, all right? There are churches all over the United States today that are meeting in theaters. They were playing Saw last night and they're having church in the same theater this morning, all right? Because it doesn't matter what the building is. It matters about what's going on inside, right? So it's the people. This building doesn't, it's not an institution. Right? It's not just an organization. The church is not a place to go. We mistakenly say this, and I'm not telling you should change this. I think it's fine, but as long as we understand it, I don't go to church. We don't go to church. We are the church. If you're in your house, in your recliner, watching the Cowboys win tonight, you are still the church. You're still the church. You don't have to come here, right? It's not an event. Sunday morning is not the church. The church is a living, breathing thing. You and I are part of the body of Christ. The Bible even goes so far as to say this, that we all have our place in the body. Now, this one's funny. The Bible says that some of us are hands and some of us are feet. I'll let you figure out who's who on that one. I don't even know what. I mean, we all have our place in the body of Christ. God gave you some talent, some giftedness to use to build the church, to make the church stronger. Most of us have a hard time with this one. I've said this a million times around here. If you ask me what's wrong with me, that's easy. I can point out a lot of stuff. If you tell me what I'm good, ask me what are you good at? Well, it's hard for me to say that stuff out loud because I'm not even sure I'm good at anything. That's what most of us do, right? And so I believe Satan convinces us to just back up, just back away from the task at hand because we say things to ourselves like, I'm not good. They need somebody that's good at that. No, they don't. The church doesn't need a bunch of experts. The church needs a bunch of people who are faithful. That's what we're looking for, right? We can go out and hire experts somewhere. That's what other organizations do. Let's go hire an expert, right? We don't do that in the church world. Because that's not the way it works. God wants us to be active and involved. He wants us to be faithful in the gifts he gives us. All of us have been given a gift. I like what one guy said one time, everybody's a 10 in some area. You're good at something. And you got to just share it and use it for God's glory. The church is the body of Christ. We are the church. We're the church. I want to give you a quick definition of church. Church is a group of baptized believers who've joined together in a commitment to help each other fulfill God's call. Amen. That's what the church is all about. It's a group of people who have said, I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to do this the way he said to do it. And I'm going to commit to one another. I want to commit to this group that says, we're following God's call. What is God asking us to do? I always love it when we have, when we see people serving here at Grace Point. And the biggest time of year that we see people serving here is on Sunday morning because it happens all the time. And then we have things like Servolution. And Servolution is where hundreds of you are just going out every day and just serving our community. You are being the church to the world. whether you're handing out breakfast to a city worker or you are holding up a sign saying Jesus loves you and we do too at the intersection, wherever you are, whatever you're involved in, you're helping share the love of Christ in that moment. We are the church. We're committed to fulfilling the call of God for us right now. And so that's what Grace Point is all about. In the early church, right after the church started, the church hasn't always been in existence. Jesus came, the Bible says, and he was born miraculously of a virgin. He lived doing miracles throughout his whole earthly life. The Bible says he was crucified, he was buried, he rose from the dead, he ascended back to the Father. Now watch what happens. He said to his disciples, now look, I'm going to go away and the Comforter is going to come. He's like, the Holy Spirit is now going to come and you're going to go into all the world and you're going to spread this message to everybody. You're going to share this, but you're going to need the power of the Holy Spirit working in your life. So Jesus said, we're going to start the church. And on the very first day of the church, there's 3,000 people that give their hearts to Christ in the first day. The first day. You talk about a church growth seminar. I mean, they just got busy listening to God, and God showed up and started touching hearts and lives. And so in the beginning of this brand new baby thing called the church, look at what happens. Acts 2:41. Those who accepted his message... They were talking about Simon Peter. He's preaching to them. He's telling them about Jesus. Those who accepted his message were baptized. About 3,000 were added to their number that day. I don't even know how you baptize 3,000 people in one day, but it'd be fun trying. And then verse 42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. He said they focused on God's word, the apostles' teaching, hanging out together, fellowshipping together, doing all that, encouraging and praying and correcting, fellowshipping, breaking bread, right? Lord's Supper and meals, and praying together. That's where it all started. Now watch this in verse 46. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. It's just this picture of unity. It's a picture of God doing something in this group of people that were going to be persecuted because of their faith. So far, nobody's telling me and you that we can't meet like this on Sunday. These people were going to start seeing this kind of thing. And yet they were interested. They knew they needed each other. So why is the church the most important group on earth? I'm going to share four things with you. Why is it the most important? Here's number one, because the church is God's family. Because the church is God's family. So now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. No longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. There are people in this room and watching online this morning that did not grow up in a functioning, happy, healthy family. And I just want to say this to you. He said, you are no longer strangers and foreigners. You're citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. This is a family right here. This is a family. There are church families meeting all over the world today and encouraging one another. You're not on the outside, you're on the inside. You're on the inside. We need one another. Why is this so important? Because this is family. This is family. Here's the second one. The church is God's way of reaching the unsaved. But the Bible teaches us that there's heaven and there's hell. There's no way of getting around it. And as long as there's a heaven and as long as there's a hell, we need to be sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with people. We need to make sure that they know the message of Jesus. Look what he tells us to do in Matthew 28. Jesus came and told his disciples, I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, Go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you, and be sure of this, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. He said, look, I want you to go everywhere. I want you to share the gospel everywhere you go. I want you to go to the ends of the earth, and I want you to make disciples. I want you to lead people to Christ and then teach them how to walk in this journey with Christ. And we do all kinds of things right here, but we're also a part of things that happen other places. We're a part of missions efforts in Honduras and Africa and other places. And over the next couple months, I got some more I'm going to share with you, places we're going to support and be a part of. We've been a part of so many different people that have shared the gospel other places just by supporting them. You and I may never go to another country and share the gospel, but if we're supporting the people who do, then we're part of that. It's a big family, right? So this family member is going somewhere else to share the gospel, and this one's going over here to share the gospel, and we're going to share it right here. There's no greater mission field than our own home and our own job and our own neighborhood. We've all been placed here to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. I remember when we lived just down the street here from the church, we would be out in the front yard a lot, and there's a sidewalk, you know, right in front of the house, and everybody who came down the sidewalk was fair game. I mean, they're getting invited to church one way or the other, and I would figure out ways to start conversations, you know, and I'm not a dog guy, okay? I know all you dog lovers, forgive me. I'm not a pet guy. Somebody just said, "Wow, he's not a dog guy." All right. If a dog gets in the house, it was by accident around our house. Okay, that's just not so. So I go out and I'm just talking about the dog, you know, and the beautiful dog, and I'm just thinking I'm gonna tell you about Jesus. You just don't know it yet. It's coming. I'm gonna share Jesus. And I was genuinely interested in the person, just not the dog. All right. So. Where can you share this? You are the church. I am the church. How are we going to reach the unsaved? How are we going to share the gospel of Jesus Christ? That's one reason this church thing is so important. Here's number three. It's so important. It's the most important group on earth because Jesus died for the church. Jesus died for the church. Now, as much as we love the Cowboys, Jesus didn't die for the Cowboys. He died for the church. Ephesians 5, 25 and 27 says, just as Christ loved the church, he gave up his life for her. The bride of Christ is what he calls the church. He did this to present her to himself as a glorious church without a spot or wrinkle or any other blemish. He gave up his life for the church. Jesus died for the church. It's the only group that Jesus died for. Now, obviously, he's talking about people that were outside the church who gave their hearts to Christ and became part of the church. So why is this so important? Because Jesus died for it. Here's number four. Jesus sees the church as so important because the church wins against evil. I just want to say this. I want us to find comfort in these words we're about to read. Sometimes, if you're like me, you look at our world and go, where is this thing going? Where is this going to end up? How can this come to a good conclusion? The church wins against evil. Matthew 16, 18, Jesus said, I will build my church and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. This is where, amen. This is where the blessings of God are. In the church, the true church, when we're following Christ, he said, I will build my church. You see, I just want to be in on the ground floor. You know, if you would have invested $1,000 with Amazon in 1998, you'd have $1.7 million today. Don't you feel dumb? I do. I mean, man, we would have just been, anyway. I didn't know what Amazon was. I was just like, it sounds weird. I don't know why they named it after a river. I'm not sure what's going on. Some of us did the same thing with the church. We kind of gave it that, yeah, don't know, man. I'm just going to have to watch this one for a little while before I get involved. And that's okay. That's okay. But I'm glad I'm a part of this because the Bible tells us we win in the end. It's a privilege to be a part of the church. It's a privilege. It's a privilege. It's a privilege. You know, if somebody has concert tickets and they're just so happy, I'm going to a concert. Oh, look at this. And you're standing over there like, I don't have any tickets. And they're rubbing it in your face. I got them. Because the ticket says you have the privilege of coming in here. But when you don't have a ticket, you can't come in. 1 Peter 1 and 3 says, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again. It is by his great mercy. He gave you a ticket not because you deserved it or earned it or because you could afford it. It was because of his mercy that he allowed you in. When we do the things we do here at Grace Point Church, we're very thoughtful about them. We're not doing things that just because it sounds like a fun idea. You know, we've talked many times around here about our core values: love God, love others, have fun, give excellence. That those are things that help us bring it back to center. Okay, we're not going to do that event or that thing if it doesn't help us with one of these core values, that we love God or we love others or it's having fun together or giving excellence. We're going to make sure they focus in. We've got structure around here where we want everybody to be able to come in and immediately get involved. And as you grow in your relationship with Christ, then you become a leader, and there's structure involved in that. It wasn't just something that was thrown out and thrown together. It's on purpose because the church is so important to reaching the world for Christ. We celebrate the things we celebrate on purpose. We celebrate baptism every month here on purpose. We say it. I've said it a million times. We celebrate baptisms loud and proud, and we're not going to do quiet, because when somebody gives their heart to Christ and they get baptized, there's rejoicing in heaven, the Bible says. And so when whatever makes heaven happy, we ought to be happy about it. We're going to celebrate stuff. When somebody gives their heart to Christ, or when somebody, their life has been changed and they get to share their testimony, we're going to celebrate that stuff because something is happening that we value. It's not just flippantly happening. These things are on purpose. We're doing these things on purpose. The goal is to reach people with the message of Jesus Christ. And as we do, the church becomes stronger and stronger and stronger. And every step of the way, there's growing that has to happen. Every one of us has to grow a little bit. And so as we're growing together, We have to change our strategy sometimes. One of those things that's coming up next Sunday, you've heard it announced a couple of weeks now. Next Sunday morning, we're starting another Sunday morning service, because some of y'all are sitting kind of close right now this morning, all right? All right? And so some Sunday mornings, we just have almost no seats available. And I'm seeing some rows right here where there's just no more chairs. And so we know that there is a certain level of a closeness, we'll say it that way, that we can withstand, all right? Here's the deal. If you've been a part of the church for a long time, you're like, come on, sit closer. But if you're coming into the church for the first time and somebody's like, here, sit with me, I've got half a seat left here, you sit right here, they're not coming back, all right? They're not coming back. Or somebody recently told me they saw some folks that were brand new to Grace Point, and they were standing at the doors waiting to come in, and they just turned around and went and left and got in their car because it wasn't going to be easy for them to find a seat. And so we're like, we're going to fix that problem real quick. We're not going to let, we're going to be the church, all right? We're going to do this the right way. And so we're going to add a Sunday morning service. And so the way this is going to work is right now we do 10:30, and we're going to change that We will not be doing a 10:30 service. It'll be a 9:30 and an 11 o'clock. So guess what? You're going to have to pick a new time to come to church, all right? So now watch this. Again, it's purposeful stuff, right? 9:30 and 11 means that our services will be close enough together that if you come to early service at 9:30, you will be getting finished while other people are coming and getting ready to come in for 11 o'clock. So one of the fears often when a service is added is that, well, I won't get to see my friends. But the cool thing is the services will be close enough together and there's going to be enough coffee that you can just, here you go. Go coffee team. Can we just give them a hand? Yes, sir. Yep. Amen. Frank has told me before the only reason I stayed at this church was because the coffee was good. And I was like, amen. All right. So now we got him forever. All right. For a cup of coffee. And so you'll get to see each other, the ones that are leaving and the ones that are coming. You get to hang out, spend some time together between services. So that's going to be good. Now watch this. We have a wonderful welcome team and coffee team. There are people at the front door smiling all the time and welcoming people in. Here's the statistic. A new person, a person that's walking into church for the first time, the statistics say that they will make up their mind if they're coming back or not within the first 11 minutes of being on the property. 11 minutes. So if they don't come back, it wasn't because of my bad sermon. It was because of something y'all did out there. All right? I'm just saying. Numbers don't lie, right? That's what they say. I don't know. No, so here's the thing. If somebody walks in and we have 11 minutes to make them feel comfortable, we're going to welcome them with a bunch of big old smiles out there. We're going to point them to the coffee bar. Come and get you a free cup of coffee. It's not $7 like it is at Starbucks. Just come and get it. We give it away. So get your coffee. And can we help you? And so we're going to be there and for people that are coming in, all right? Because here's the deal. It's not about building a big organization. It's about the church. All that stuff we just said that happens in the church. We want to win as many people to Christ. We want to be whatever we need to be to reach people for Jesus, with Jesus, and make sure that their lives are changed forever. And if having an adding a service or giving away coffee or whatever it takes to make sure. There's some awesome improvements happening in the nursery. If you don't have, you ought to just have some babies just to see what's going on in the nursery, all right? All right, I'm just saying. I mean, there's just all kinds. Some of you are like, I don't want it. I don't want to see the nursery that bad. All right. There's all kinds of good things happening, improvements happening. And so as a part of that, one of those tools is that we'll start another Sunday morning service. That's next week. So I want you to think right now. You don't say it out loud. Which service are you thinking about, 9:30 or 11 o'clock? Which one's going to work better for you? Some of you guys are early risers, and you're like, yes. I mean, I'll be back home when the Cowboys play at noon, and this will be awesome. And some of you are like, I'll get to sleep till 10:42 and still make it to church at 11. All right? And nothing wrong with either way, whatever works for you. Some of you, you won't have to get your kids up so early on Sunday morning. Hallelujah. So whatever works for you. Now, here's three things. Here's three things I need from you. I need you to invite somebody. Who are you going to invite to church? Who are you going to invite to be a part of this? Is it somebody at work? Is it somebody in the neighborhood? Is it a family member that you've been waiting on the opportunity? Who are you going to invite? You know, the only difference between a vibrant church and a dying church is one word, invite. That's the only difference. We're just inviting our friends and our family to church. Here's the second thing I'm going to ask you to do. Serve. Serve. And so many of you are already serving. But I'm going to ask you to do this. Serve with excellence where you're looking for those people that are new. And you're smiling, and you're offering to help somebody. And I know you're afraid, well, what if this person's been coming to church for 20 years and I just haven't seen them yet? They'll get over it. They'll get over it. They will. As a matter of fact, if somebody says to me, I've had people say to me, I've been coming to church for 2 weeks, and Jody and I were on vacation or something. I was coming for 2 weeks, and I didn't see you, and I still just decided to make this my church home. And I was like, well, I'm not going to preach anymore then. Let's just be done with that. All right? It's okay if you say to somebody, can I help you? If they look lost, they need help. All right? Help them. Just show them. If you don't have the answer, take them to somebody on the welcome team. They'll have some answers for you. Just smile and serve. Ask somebody if they need some assistance, all right? So invite somebody to church, serve, and pray. Pray. The Bible says this, my house will be known as a house of prayer. 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 Prayer changes stuff. It moves the hand of God. We just want to be as impactful as we can with this message of Jesus. You and I have been given this message to share with other people. And what if we treated it like the valuable thing it is, and we just want to share it with people by inviting, by serving, by praying, by praying. Here's some things to pray for. Jesus said, pray the Lord of the harvest that he send laborers into the harvest, that the right people would show up at the right time. You might have a family member that lives somewhere else and you don't even know somebody there, and that your family member's away from the Lord, and you're praying, God, send laborers into the harvest. Just drop that believer into their life that can love them and care for them and encourage them and pray for them. Do the same thing here. There might be somebody in your neighborhood or on your job that a family member of theirs is praying for them, and you are the answer to that prayer. That you're just going to get to love on them and care for them and show them Christ. Pray. Pray the Lord of the harvest that he send laborers into the harvest. Watch this. Here's what the Bible says. Some plant, some water, God gives the increase. Any fruit that takes place around here, any good thing that happens around here, any growth that occurs around here, it was him that did it, not us. Some plant, I can plant and I can water. He's the one who has to make it grow. He's the one that has to do that. So we're praying for growth. We're praying for God to show up and do whatever he wants to do. And I know you're praying for stuff in your own life, family and money and sickness and dysfunction. And listen, the list goes on and on and on. And we're going to pray for those things today. I believe, because we're family. And I believe God's going to show up and work. God's going to show up and work. So I want you to stand with me if you would. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Can we just, in your own way right now, just surrender whatever it is that you're carrying right now. Just surrender it to God in your own way. It might be a family member. It might be a health thing. I don't know what it is, but you know what it is. Can we just symbolically just surrender that to God right now and just give it to him and ask him to help us? He says, cast all your cares on me because I care for you. He cares about you this morning. Let's do it right now. Father, we thank you. God, your grace is sufficient. Your grace is always sufficient, Lord. You always bless us and take care of us and walk with us and help us. We thank you for that today. God, we just want to surrender all of the burdens and the baggage that we're carrying today. We just want to surrender it to you. We want to unload it. We want to cast those burdens at your feet, those cares at your feet. We pray for you to miraculously work in these areas of our life, God. There's somebody here today that is just at the end of their rope. They don't know what else to do, Lord. I pray today that they would find peace and that you would provide answers, Lord. That God, you would show up in their life and you would work like never before in a way that only you can get the glory for. And we thank you, God, for what's coming. And Lord, we give all of all the things that are happening here at Grace Point, we give those things to you, Lord. Adding a service on Sunday morning and Trunk or Treat and Celebrate Recovery and High Octane Kids and Little Angels Nursery and Summit Youth Ministry and music and everything, God. Everything, Lord. We just give that stuff to you, and we pray, Lord, that you would make it all effective, God. That we would do things your way and allow you to guide our lives. And Lord, we pray that you would help us, Lord, to stay excited and motivated about what you are doing in our lives, in our church. And we thank you for what's coming, and we receive your help in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give him some praise, everybody. Amen, amen, amen. 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 All right. Before we go, I'm going to ask you to do one thing. Some of you have been carrying a burden that is bigger than you. It's heavier than you are capable of carrying. I'm going to ask you to do this week. Find one other person that you believe in, that you trust their relationship with God. You don't have to unload every detail if you don't want to, all right? But just go to them, because here's what the Bible says. One of you can put 1,000 to flight, and two can put 10,000 to flight. It's an exponential thing. When you add somebody into the equation, the prayers and the encouragement and the help and the bearing of the burden, when you add somebody in, it multiplies it exponentially, the power of God working in our lives. So what is it that you're struggling with this morning, and who can you ask to pray for you? Who is it that you can talk to and say, hey, I really need you to pray for this thing? Who do you have in your life that has a prayer life that you trust? Who is that person? And here's the clincher. When are you going to talk to them? Because we leave church and we go, I'm going to do that one day. 7 years later, we're like, well, I'm going to do that one day. When, in your own head, in your own thinking, when are you going to talk to that other person about praying with you about this thing? When are you going to do it? Today? Monday? Tuesday? If you're like me, you better put it in your reminder app if it's not right now, all right? Who are you going to talk to, and when are you going to talk to them? And let's see what God does. This prayer thing works. We just got to do it his way. We're part of the family of Christ, the church. We're part of the church for a reason. This is part of that reason. To lean on one another. Amen. Can we give the Lord some praise right now? Amen. 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 If today is your first day here at Grace Point, we just want to welcome you and say thank you for being here. And we have in the corner of the room, we have a gift for you, and we just want to say thank you for being here. And we promise we won't make you late for lunch. Just stop by, and we just want to say hello. Give us just a minute, if you would, and stop by. God, bless us as we go. Have your way with us. We thank you for what's coming, and we receive your help in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Love you, everybody. Thank you for being here today.